big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey, friends, welcome to Mesmerized. I'm glad you're here. As you probably know now, you've caught on to the rhythm that once a month, Heather and I have been surprising each other with a guest on our show, Sidetracked, and then we release it on both of our individual shows. Heather has Don't Mom Alone, and obviously you're here with me on Mesmerized. And so we've had Beth McCord from the Enneagram on. We have had Michaela Noble last time. We have also had Tony Collier. And then today I am being surprised. Heather is surprising me with Jess Connolly, and it is a super fun conversation and such a timely conversation because we're talking about rest and being tired. And I don't know about you, but post-summer, I am tired. I know we're supposed to rest all summer, but we're moms and that doesn't always happen. And so what a great conversation today with Jess Connolly. I'm super excited. And so you'll hear more about her when we kick it off here with me and Heather talking to Jess Connolly on Sidetracked. Off we go.
Oh my gosh. I have known today's guest since the early days of blogging in 2011. She's a fellow mom of four kiddos. Back when we met, we both had lots of little babies, and she ran her own print shop. And FYI, one of her prints is in my kitchen. You've seen it, Cynthia.
Wow.
She has called herself an accidental entrepreneur because she started conferences, written loads of books. She's literally one of the best Bible teachers I know and a fantastic writer. She hosts her own podcast. She coaches loads of women. She has planted a church with her hot husband. I will explain that later.
Creeper. Okay.
In Charleston, South Carolina. This is a quote. She wants to help women feel more awake, alive, and present as they show up to the places that God has called them. Today, I have asked her to help us learn how to realistically rest. Maybe you a little bit more than me, with advice from her new book, Tired of Being Tired. She has even diagnosed us with must be nice disease. Please welcome the winner of the best hair and the cutest dimples on the internet, Jess Connolly.
Jess!
We just talked about you literally in the last episode.
Hey!
Oh, Jess. Hi, guys!
Welcome. I mean, aren't those the cutest dimples? I know, Cynthia, you have cute dimples, but
so cute. Do I have dimples?
I mean, you do.
Jess, how are you? It's so good to see you. You missed a little backdrop on this. I'm in Colorado. Must be nice. And Heather and I have been chit-chatting about that, but I'm not in my usual setting, so I look like I've been arrested. I look like I'm getting a mugshot, so I do apologize.
You are A-okay. I'm in my bedroom because it's summer and we're moms.
Yes.
And this is the best I can do. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, we're doing it from bed today.
The dog was barking and I was like, zippity-dippity, you're going to wake all the children that are teenagers. And then my day starts and I don't want that. Everyone's going to want to eat.
I love it.
And I don't want to feed anybody yet. No.
Oh, thanks for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me, guys. Heather, I have to say off the bat, I'm so glad you brought up the hot husband because my husband did just ask me, who are you podcasting with? And I said, Heather, you know, she thinks you're real hot.
Okay. The fact you even came on this show after your, I mean, I don't know what to do with this, Jess. I'm sorry.
Cynthia's constantly embarrassed by my behavior.
No, it's my favorite part of me and Heather's friendship. And the thing is, my husband is very hot. So, I mean, we can kick off there and you can tell the story because I think it's the best thing that's ever happened at a Christian women's conference personally.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it, girls.
Cynthia, did you even know that I used to do a blogging conference thing?
No.
Cynthia and I are newer friends than you and me, Jess, just so you know.
I love it.
So,
yet at the same time, Jess, she was trying to text you and she's like, I don't know if I've had her contact. I haven't texted her since 2011. I'm like, wow, a dear friend. I see.
What I'm saying is there's history we've shared that you don't know about. Anyway.
Okay.
Declare Conference, Dallas, Texas. Jess is one of our amazing speakers, and her husband joined her. And I don't even know. I think he was sitting at the table. Was he not?
I don't really remember. I mean, he was there. He was present there. When the...
Yeah. I didn't say it behind his back. I wasn't like being stalkery. No.
Like oogling. Okay.
No, I wasn't oogling. I was stating facts.
Because actually what you said was you met him and you said, oh, you really are hot. And I was undone. I was like, he is. I'm telling you, on my worst day, I'm like the stereotypical youth pastor from the 90s who wants his smoking hot wife to stand up. Because
yeah,
my husband is so hot and I love when people recognize that. And I was like, Heather, we're going to be best friends. This is, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, you're in your bedroom. Do you have a picture? I mean, I feel like now pull out the.
Listen.
Not he like, has a calendar.
Not like a boudoir picture. No. Not that kind of picture.
It should be a pastor's calendar. I mean,
my wedding pictures over there. The thing is, I'm just going to give it to you straight, Cynthia, now that we're here. Like, the thing is, like, I mean, if people follow me online, they'll see his picture online. He's just one of those guys. And partially why this story is perfect is because he's very humble and he's very modest and like
quiet.
Pretty quiet. So it like kind of ruined his life in the best way, which always like makes my day. Yeah. You know, like when he's just like, I want to, you know, but it's the whole of him. Like you could look at a photograph and say like, that's a handsome man. But when you meet him, you're like, wow, you're striking.
And
I mean, no one ever.
I think I have this thing where when I see like someone's more shy or like introverted, I like to poke the bear. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just love to do that. So, anyway, my apologies. I'm in a very secure marriage. I know that y'all are very secure. I was not hitting.
We are. That's what made it perfect.
No, I was not.
And I met your husband, and he's stunning. Not hurting in the looks department. You know what I'm saying?
We're doing great.
It was only something a very secure wife could say to another very secure wife.
And Cynthia knows Bruce is very handsy over here with me. I feel very fine.
Okay, this is the point in the show where I decide whether or not I ever come back to Sidetrack. Like if I even want to be in my show anymore when she starts talking about being handsy with her husband and it becomes this whole thing.
We're going to be canceled. We're already canceled. Okay. It's true. But here's the deal. The reason I wanted to surprise Cynthia with you, Jess, is Cynthia is a really good doer. She gets a lot done. She's very good at doing. Now, after reading your book a little more, I'm realizing I'm perhaps exhausted in a different way. And that's because I feel all the things and I'm emotionally fatigued.
Yeah.
But what I love is that, because sometimes people get on and they write a book and it's just for them, right? It's like one thing. You say there's not a one size fits all plan to rest.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work for us because we're tired in different ways. And so I'm just going to jump into some good content here because that is intriguing. What are the four different types of fatigue you kind of narrowed in on in your book?
Okay. And before you even answer that, Jess, can I say one thing? The fact that she just said that I work too much and I'm too tired, that I'm tired or whatever. I don't want anyone to read into it that I'm on vacation in Colorado and I'm on a podcast doing this at the crack of dawn because we're on different time zones. Everyone, I'm fine. So it's good.
Yeah.
Now tell me the four ways. Uh-huh. Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about the four ways in a second, but let's address that. Yes. It was like, she's like, I know we have this interview, but I'm going to go to Colorado, but I can still do it. And I will still pack all my stuff and I will still get up early. And da da da. I was like, she came with an eye patch on. She came like her dog had just died. She chose, when you are in a partnership, whether it's marriage, whether it's work, with a 3 on the Enneagram that works hard, you know they're going to show up.
We show up.
And that
I'm here, Jess. So tell me, but I am super
all the time.
I'm tired, Jess. I'm tired. So what's going on? Tell us the four ways. Okay. I diverted.
Before I even tell you the four ways, I just want to say to Cynthia, like, number one, shame off you. And I wrote in the book a good bit, like, I didn't want to do the thing where I was like busy bragging, but I did write in the book, like, I needed to give people a context of my life because I had only ever really read books on rest from very quiet and boundaried women who seemed to like already be good at rest. And that is not my life. And that's not my personality. And also I didn't perceive that God wanted to change this about me. I didn't perceive that he wanted to change the fact that I love to work. And so even when she introduced you as a doer, like to me, I think that's so beautiful. I think I'm a doer too. You know, I'm definitely not a ponderer. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, same.
And so I tried to give some like good, like background as I wrote the book to say like, listen, I don't live a quiet life. I don't, it's not going to be quiet for quite some time, I perceive. And I love working and I love being on mission and I love getting to do all the things I get to do. So number one, just know that about me and where I hope this book finds a lot of people. That being said, the four different types of rest that I end up highlighting in the book that to me are kind of the biggest buckets that a lot of women are really struggling with is number one, spiritual, which interestingly was like the one that I had the least insight about when I started writing the book and when I started researching, and the one that I have found that actually has like the most impact on a lot of women and a lot of Christian women. The second is physical, which is what most of us think about when we think about rest. And the problem there is that maybe a lot of us are trying to like keep resting in physical ways, but what we really need is some other type of rest. So, and the last two are mental and emotional. Interestingly enough, when I wrote the book, I had 70 women read the book as I was writing it and give me live feedback to say like, how is this hitting you? Is this applicable? You know, I wanted it to be accessible for all women. I wanted it to be accessible for single moms, for women in grad school, for women who have, you know, six kids, for empty nesters. And all that being said, when I polled all of the 70 women as they were reading the book, mental was interestingly the highest level of exhaustion that most women were struggling with, which I think resonates with a lot of us. But emotional exhaustion is also real. And truly, all of the different types of fatigue can seep into the other areas. So we're just like, I'm done. I'm out. I don't know what's working. I don't know why it's broken.
Yeah. And that phrase, yeah, like, I can do this for two, like, I just got to get through the next 2 weeks. Like
the next 2 weeks.
Have you had that, Cynthia? We were like, okay, once I get past this stage, like I'm thinking, yes, once I take Quay off to college, stage, then things look, no, they're not. I have other children.
Well, it's and my friends make jokes.
What?
My friends make jokes about this, how I'm always like, after this thing, and they're like, no, we don't, no, because after this thing, there's another thing. But true story, as we're recording this, Jess, what's today? I don't even know. Yesterday or 2 days ago. I don't know what day it is anymore. But I was asked to speak and do the sermon at our church, Bent Tree Bible.
Which both is not services a small on. Church. It's not a small church.
It's not a small church, guys. And so they asked me to do this, both services, the pastor did, which is so gracious. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm fearful of this. I speak a lot, but this is scary to me. But then the Lord was like, no, we're going to do it. And so I went through this whole exercise with the Lord and finally said yes. And so the stress level for me, who I'm not a nervous speaker at all, but something about your own church on a Sunday morning, on a platform, the weightiness of God's word, like all of this. Yeah. And so I got there. Okay. And I got to the point and I mean, I knew it, I was ready, all the things, but could not shake the nervousness. And I do think there was some spiritual attack in this too, but in between services, I did the first service and I never felt like I got in my groove. It was fine. I mean, I think the Lord used it, was great. But before the second service, like I got even more nervous because, and so I'm fast forwarding to the end as they're doing the last worship song, that's beautiful. And I know I'm getting ready to go on the stage. I'm at this point mad. I'm like, Lord, you promise a spirit, like we don't have a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power and love and sound mind. And you promise you go before us. And I mean, I'm like mad at this point. And I realized like in that moment, like I felt like the Lord just finally, like the Holy Spirit came over and is like, I have this rest. And I think like, as I'm hearing you say this, like once I got on the stage, that second one, I had just thrown my hands up. I'm like, I'm so tired of worrying about getting this right. And it was probably the best I've ever probably spoken. I mean that in all humility, just because it wasn't me anymore. I was outside of myself. And I bring all this up because I think I'm coming out of literally 2 weeks of sheer, yes, maybe a little physical exhaustion, but mental exhaustion, but really spiritual exhaustion of wrestling with God over doing something hard that I didn't want to do and how the Lord just showed up in that moment. And so, yeah, I feel this so deeply with your message resonates so deeply because I've felt it on so many levels in the last, you know, 72 hours.
Yeah. It's real. The spiritual exhaustion, because it's so hard to define for a lot of people and because honestly, not a lot of people are talking about it. it really can seep into and permeate our bones. And the good news is the practical steps to kind of heal from it or get rest in those areas is actually beneficial. It does actually serve us and help us. But it's not just for women in ministry either. I mean, I think a lot of moms might immediately imagine that they are physically tired or that they're mentally tired. But a lot of us are carrying some spiritual exhaustion of like continually holding our kids up and saying like, what is going to happen? Where are they going? You know, what is their life going to be like, and contending for them? And that alone can just be truly, truly, truly exhausting.
Yeah, it is. Well, okay, so give us some practical tips. You can pick whichever kind of exhaustion, but what does that look like?
Well, okay, here's a story, Morning Glory. I don't think Cynthia has my questions. Do you have them yet, Cynthia?
Oh, no, why? Am I asking a question I shouldn't be asking?
You're moving ahead of me.
Well, I trust Jess to be able to roll with this.
I know, but I wanted to get into before, like, the tips. You said it really quickly, Cynthia. Like, there are these questions. You were talking to your son about how his body hurt when you had your first baby.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like empathizing with the pain that you'd walk through. And I love these questions asking, where does it hurt? Where are you tired to tears? Where has exhaustion become unbearable? I mean, those three things, I know you just kind of said them in a paragraph, but I was like, if we really sat with those, where does it hurt? Maybe it is physical. Maybe you're battling that in body shame or something, but it tired to tears. I mean, that could be a lot of things anyway. But where would you instruct someone to figure out that type for them?
Yeah. Like, how do you define the fear? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even kind of like melding those two questions, like how do we fear? What kind of tired we are? And like, where do we even start with this? So, I mean, thankfully, one of my favorite parts about tired or being tired is that I wrote a quiz right into the book. It's in chapter 4 and you can take the quiz. And I will tell you, I am 100% not kidding. I wrote the quiz. I love the quiz, but I pull it out at dinner, like with friends. I have given my husband the quiz on a date night no less than 4 times. Like, if he's like, I'm just feeling really fatigued, I'm not really sure what to do next, you know, the Sabbath we took this week did not work. And what I will do now, because I've given him the quiz so many times, is that I mix up the answers so he doesn't see a pattern. So that's how much I use the quiz. Actually, I took my team to dinner just a few weeks ago, my team that has worked on Tired of Being Tired for years, that's heard me talk about it for years. And I was like, I'm sorry, everybody, we're pulling out the quiz. I'm going to, everybody just write down your answers really quickly. But that being said, you know, if someone doesn't have access to the quiz or doesn't even like feel like they have 5 or 6 minutes to take it, I think a first question is like, what are the catalysts or what are the moments that make you most feel like, I can't do this anymore? Like, I can't be like, I cannot keep going like this. Because we all have those moments, you know, or when you, this is another fun one in the summer, when you see your friend on her vacation that looks lovely and you think like, that's it, I'm out. It must be nice. I'm running away. I'm getting away. What was the defeat right before that feeling? You know, and so some of us can start to kind of trace like, okay, where is this pain coming from? Where is this overwhelm coming from? When I feel the most defeated, when I feel the most fatigued, when I feel like I actually just cannot keep going anymore, maybe what happened just before that? And then even on a more hopeful bend, another question I like to ask women, if I'm doing like one-on-one rest coaching, is I will say like, can you describe what you would picture a rested version of yourself looking like? Or I'll ask like, what would it look like for you to live fully awake? Describe that life for me. And so then sometimes people can kind of notice like, okay, there's this huge gap between my desire, my vision, my hopes of what I feel like me living fully awake with God would look like and where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I like that you're talking about what rest might look like for a person, because I think that like, that's really resonating with me, because people will say like, you just need to go and whatever, do nothing for 2 weeks or whatever. That's not restful to me.
No.
That actually, and maybe that means I need a little counseling, but that causes me angst.
No.
Like, restful to me is that in between of like, I'm about to lose my mind, it's so crazy, or I'm stressed out. That's not restful, but it's also not restful. Nothingness is not restful for me, because I crave accomplishment for better or worse. And so I love that for all of us, it can look different. And I feel like you're exactly right when people people, well, you know, they come to you and say, like, you just need 2 weeks of nothingness. I'm like, gosh, that sounds terrible to me. And so identifying what is restful, like, no one's ever asked me that. I love that you just said that. No one's ever asked me and said, like, what does rest look like to you? And I'm not positive I know. So what a great way to look into this. Yeah.
That did not mean you need therapy, because I mean, I like kind of think we all need therapy, but like the fact that you don't want to do nothing for 2 weeks does not mean you need therapy. Actually, my husband and I have been on one sabbatical. We've been in church ministry. We've been at our church now for 10 years, and we took a sabbatical around year 7, and it just so happened to be in the middle of the pandemic. And so we had this like big, beautiful, you know, travel trip planned with our kids, and then the world shut down. And so we ended up on this small island. And when I say island, do not hear luxury, because it was like this small island in South Carolina where there's no cars, there's no stores, and there are no people. And so it was safe to be pandemic wise. And we were able to stay there for a month, which was amazing. But there was basically no internet, no cars, no stores, and no people. And so it was just us and nature. And I went like just a tad insane. And I will tell you guys, we were there for 30 days. And such a privilege, such a gift to be able to take 30 days off. But around day 5, I started categorizing the shells I found and photographing them, and then putting them in bags based on the hour and the time I found them on the beach, and then comparing them, because my brain was like, there needs to be something here. We need to have some kind of order and to be building and creating something. And I even like felt shame about that. But that's when I realized, like, I don't think I rest like other people. And most of us don't rest like other people, which is also why we're so exhausted, because we're doing the typical things and they're not working.
Yeah.
So I want us each to take a turn. What do we think our current fatigue is? Which of those four types? And you said they blend into each other, so maybe multiple. And then like, what is restful? Have you figured it out yet? I mean, I guess, Cynthia, we don't know for you.
Yeah, I already went. I already went, but yeah.
But do you know what your exhaustion, do you think it was spiritual and it was maybe physical?
I think it's spiritual. I do think, and again, not everybody can relate to this, but I do think for on the other side of whatever your thing is, on the other side of just releasing a book and then doing, you know, being asked to do some kind of harder out of my comfort zone things by the Lord, I think that I just, you know, that wanting to be obedient, but wanting to also be like, can I just blend in somewhere for a little while? So I think mine's a little bit of a spiritual battle for me. But I think even if you didn't write a book or whatever your thing is, like, we've all felt that where you feel like the Lord keeps challenging you to go talk to that person or to raise your kids up in a certain way. And at some point you're like, gosh, can I not just have the easy road for a little while? So I think mine was probably spiritual. What about y'all?
Mine right now is really interesting, and I don't mind sharing, but mine is 100% emotional. And that's not one that, like, since I've started researching this a few years ago, that I really has come to the forefront for me. But, you know, I'd love to share if in case it's encouraging to any of your listeners, but our family's just been through like family crisis after family crisis. We actually just lost my stepdad 5 days before Tired of Being Tired was launched. And it was a traumatic, heavy, you know, out of nowhere death. And our family's very close. And we've had a handful of other like huge family crises going on. And so I've been experiencing just like extreme emotional exhaustion. And I have to say, I'm so thankful that God had given me this book before. I'm so thankful I had done the research and I had paid attention to what might help, because I did not like the answer of what has helped me a lot. But the answer for me really was emoting. And so I'm fairly certain I cried for every day for like 100 days. And I do not appreciate that. I have not loved that journey for myself. I don't wear mascara anymore. I had to get my eyelash extensions taken off because my tears just broke the glue. Like it wasn't working anymore. But that release with the Lord has kept me from feeling like my emotions are a liability. It's kept me from feeling like, you know, that this like anger or grief is just going to bubble out at inopportune times. And so I have not loved the release that is emoting, but it has been very restful.
Yeah.
I am so sorry about your loss. Mm. I've lost a father and it is, and good dads too, you know?
Yeah.
In the good daddy club, it's not fun. And so we were going to do this interview then, and I was like, of course, no. And just felt so much empathy for you and just in the season mm-hmm. two of Teens, can we just call a spade a spade? It's emotionally exhausting already.
They're killing us. They're just trying to take us out.
And I think it goes with the spiritual, especially if
remark
you've been,
at a time.
Like in our zone of like, we are going to raise these spiritual champions and we are going to put all in and we do the formula and then the formula doesn't work out. And that grief is just takes your heart and smashes it to pieces. So I'm spiritually, yeah. I think the emotional and the spiritual are all wrapped together for me yeah. lately because yeah. of that pain. But yeah, and then the mental, your brain just, yeah, we're complex beings. And so yeah. I was seeing all that from afar, the internet world, and I sent all the prayers your way that I could muster. But it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. And emoting, I'm a big fan of emoting. Cynthia knows I will cry on every episode. It's fine.
I'm okay that she cries, Jess. Here's the problem I have. She celebrates my crying. I don't enjoy crying. Like, it sounds like you, Jess. Like, it's not, I don't enjoy it. Like, I'm like, conceal, don't feel. Conceal, don't feel. Conceal, don't feel. Stuff it down. Stuff it down. And so when we barely knew each other, I was at her house one day and I walked in and I just lost it. Like, it's so uncharacteristic of me because I think I might have control issues. And so I don't like to just be like, oh, all willy-nilly. And she was like, I can't tell you how meaningful this is to me that you would come and be willing to bear your, I'm like, stop. I cannot. Now we know each other well enough. And she's like, no, that meant so much to me that you were willing to really break down and cry. I was like, well, I wasn't meaning to, but sweet Heather, she does cry in most of our episodes. And I walk this line between like, oh gosh, Heather, I'm sorry. And like, and then I have to make fun of her a little bit. And then it's a whole situation, which doesn't feel healthy. But yeah, so we have a dichotomy of crying, but I hear what you're saying. And I respect, Jess, that you stopped. I mean, stop with the mascara, all of it at this point. Like, you just got to walk in that. So am I allowed to ask now about some of these tips when we're really tired, or am I not allowed?
Yeah. And the way you phrased it with the low power mode, can we talk about
that? Yes.
Yeah.
Like that metaphor? Yeah. We all get it. I mean, absolutely. Actually, I didn't learn about low power mode until I was on a trip with my 16-year-old and he was like, well, just put it in low power mode. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, your phone?
My phone. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about it. Teach everyone.
Yeah. Anytime I talk about low power mode, I have to give credit to the amazing Lisa Turkhurst, because I was actually sitting in a room with her talking about tired of being tired. And I was like, you know, I'd really like to give like a lot of practical tips where people can just kind of like power down, like not use all their energy. And she was like low power mode. I was like, yes, like low power mode. And so I was like, I'm going to use that in my book. Is that okay? And she said, mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, the hard thing is when you're at a level of exhaustion, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, or emotional, I think the reason why some of us stay so fatigued is because we go to get a book on rest, or we hear a message on rest, or we don't, and we just think like, yeah, rest. I got to get better at that. I got to work that out. And so we're actually just giving ourselves more work, more to do. And so I wanted to hand women like some ways they could kind of immediately power down in the area where they're fatigued, and really like hand them permission that they don't need, but just say like, as a reminder, here are some things that you could do. So things like, okay, starting with spiritual exhaustion, Cynthia, a huge one. I literally was just counseling a friend the other day who was like, okay, I took the quiz. I'm spiritually exhausted. What do I do? And I was like, okay, here's a few things right off the bat. I was like, mix up the way you're spending time with the Lord. So if you have like I have to do like 90 minutes with a Bible and highlighter. I was like, I kind of want you to like scrap that and like, let's go to like a Dwell Bible app, listen to the Bible, you know, maybe worship in the car for a few weeks, like whatever you're feeling like you have to do or you should do, we're going to actually just pull back, because there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and God can reach you in a variety of ways. So even just kind of pulling back in that way, or doing things like writing and repeating a prayer of release can be really helpful for spiritual exhaustion, instead of like pondering or like even like wrestling in prayer over different things. I'm saying like, God, I release everyone and everything to you. I give this back to you. And obviously, like, even because we're talking about motherhood, and that is for sure an area where I experience a lot of spiritual exhaustion, I want to give you guys this 20-second sermon. I hope I can keep it that short, because the teens, they are trying to take us out. Like, and I'm with you, Heather. I think I have used that exact language like in the last 2 weeks and said like, there is a prosperity gospel of parenting that we are sold basically our entire motherhood, where people say, if you do 1 + 2, you will get 3. And that actually does not work. And it's not what God's promised. So we should be more careful about our language. But I noticed there's even a prosperity gospel of motherhood and prayer. And if you go on social media, if you go on Instagram, all you're going to see is graphics about like, pray this for your kid, pray this for your kid, if we'll pray for our kids. And something hit me in a recent crisis with one of our kids where I told my husband one day where I said, like, hold on 1 second. Why am I believing that I need to pound the pavement and beg God and get on my knees and say the exact right words to convince him that one of my kids should walk in the light? God actually wants that more than I want that. God wants wholeness and healing and abundance for every single one of my kids, so much so that he sent his son to pay the price for their sin, and he is pursuing them. So I still pray for my kids because it changes my heart and it gives me discernment. But in this weird and wild, wonderful world of prayer, I do not have to convince God or bend his heart for my kids to experience wholeness because he wants that more than I do. And so I was like, oh, well, that's some spiritual rest right there, you know?
Total freedom. Yeah. Yeah.
Total freedom. One morning I got up early to pray for one of my kids and I had a whole plan. I had a whole path. I was like, okay, I'm going to get up early and I might fast and I'm going to make a cup of coffee and I'm going to put on worship music and I'm going to just go for it. And in the throne room of grace and just begging God for what I want, what I need. And I'm telling you guys that next morning I got up and I made my coffee and I sat on the sofa and I pulled out my journal and I felt the Spirit of God say, are you trying to pay me? Are you trying to pay me? Don't try to pay me. And I was like, all right.
Oh, Jess, that's such a good word, because just like when people say, like, I prayed every single day for my child's spouse. Well, I think that's awesome if you've done that since the time your child was born. I didn't. And so then I go through this whole thing of like, well, they're just going to marry a felon because I didn't pray every day for this or whatever. And like, you're right. Like the Lord's like, of course I want your child to marry someone where they're equally yoked, where they can do ministry and love people together. And like, I love that freedom because that is some of the stuff you hear along the way. And you're like, well, that's it. I screwed that up and I can't go back. So what freedom there is in that. So thank you for your sermon. I needed that. Yeah.
It's another form of control is what I discovered. Like even when I interviewed my pastor's wife, who they've had some kids who've used the word prodigal, whatever, but she didn't. She used the word prodigal, but she said, sometimes I tell parents, stop praying for your prodigal. Like, because they're believing this lie so strongly that my prayers will change the heart of God and they need to be separated from that belief. It's like, and she's like, don't tell my husband I'm telling you not to pray. But it's like when that becomes your own idol in your heart, that I'm going to bow down to my prayers being just right so that I can, and if I, you know, exactly what you said. And to me, even the spiritual exhaustion, like I was in Matthew the other day and reminded when Jesus, like we like to say he's gentle and he is, but he also can say a word, okay? And he says a word about if your mother gets in the way, if your brother gets in the way, and I'm like, or if your kids get in the way. And I think I had a belief of resentment towards the Lord for this, what you said, prosperity gospel, or this belief system. And so I kind of pulled away and the exhaustion went to shut down in my spiritual life.
Yeah.
And that's no bueno. So I was like, okay, I'm going to not let one of my kids get in the way of my relationship with God.
Wow.
And so even on Sunday, which I didn't get to see Cynthia, sorry, Cynthia, we had all our kids in the row of church, but Bruce's parents were supposed to come. So I was saving them seats. So everybody's sitting and then there's two empty seats and then me. And it was like this physical representation of what I was experiencing spiritually was like, I didn't, you know, when you sit next to your kids in church and you're trying to like control their behavior and so they don't hit each other and hurt each other and talk. I felt such freedom to just be in the church worshiping and like I was just managing me and God.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
The end. And it was so restful. And I actually like my soul was fed instead of, I don't know, doing the mom thing.
Yeah.
So
thank you, God.
Well, this so good. Is a good tip. Do you have tips for you said emotional exhaustion, you said emoting physical exhaustion. I mean, we kind of know that one, but I mean, do you want to go through emotional a little bit more? Or?
I mean, yeah, let's run through them. So some ones for emotional low power mode would be, there's a practice called the sachet practice, S-A-S-H-E-T. And I utilize it a good bit. You write out the word S-A-S-H-E-T, and those stand for sad, angry, scared, happy, excited, and tender. And so even just taking like 5 minutes in the morning, writing out those words and saying like, which one of these am I? Just to like notice and capture your emotions. Another one, this actually works for emotional and mental exhaustion, but using margin moments, using transition moments to not be on our phones can be huge. Sitting in the car, as many of us are wont to do before we go inside, like sit in the car for a moment, but don't scroll reels and say like, okay, what did I feel today? What was I experiencing today? What am I overwhelmed about today? Since I'm already kind of crossing into mental, making like to-do lists for the next day at the end of the day, turning off your phone. It's interesting. I know a lot of us know that it goes off when it dies, but you actually can turn it off too as well, which is
wow.
What?
Novel. Heard. That power button doesn't just work to turn it back on. You can actually turn it off. And it's interesting. It actually really helped me and served me, you know, to be in such a crazy season of crisis while the book was coming out, because I would hear from so many women saying like, I just can't turn my phone off. You don't understand. And I'd be like, I don't. Like, I mean, my dad's in the hospital right now, like probably not coming out. I've got 4 kids too who are driving. The thing is, when we are constantly like bracing for impact of crisis and not taking care of our mental and our spiritual and emotional health because of the crisis that might happen, we're not actually strong enough when the crisis does happen. We're mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically fried. So like, it's okay to just turn the phone off. And back in the 90s, like when there was a crisis, people found you. They found you. They figured out where you were at and they got in touch with you. So turning your phone off is huge. Some of the ones for physical low power mode, I like to just hit this one because it's fun and it is a nice umbrella. But something that has revolutionized my life since writing and researching for Tired of Being Tired is that I realized that hampers hold clothes for a reason, and sinks also hold dishes, and they can just hold them. And I cannot feel shame about that. And so if I need to just power down, the crazy thing is I can buy paper plates and say like, actually, I'm not doing dishes this weekend, this whole weekend, guys. I'm not doing dishes this whole weekend. So if you guys need a dish, good luck and God bless. Or you guys can do the dishes, but I will not be. Or just like setting boundaries to say like, actually, instead of buying this live, like, oh, I'm a mom, I have to do laundry every day of my life. I can say like, you know what? There's 6 of us in this house or 7 days of the week. Everybody gets a day to do their laundry. I'm taking one day off. I'm not helping you in any way, shape, or form. And if you have fights about who left their clothes in the dryer, that's your business. We'll all figure it out. We'll all get there. And that's what hampers are for. So just looking at our lives and saying like, where am I doing extra to prove something, to gain something, because I believe I have to, because I'm doing it for my worth or for my value, and saying like, how can I actually dial that back?
Well, and I'm thinking for Cynthia.
Thanks.
I'm thinking like, it's not restful if you have that sink full of dishes. Like, you couldn't rest. Is that right?
That's correct. But I'm fast, man. I can fast. I just knock those things out for people. And then I can check it off the list. And if it's not on the list, I add it to the list and I can check it off. It's fine, everybody. I'm fine. I don't have a problem.
So I will not burst your bubble, and I will not, okay. I definitely won't do it on the podcast, but I will say that I think it's a great question to ask why.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
like, why can she not rest if there are things that still need to be checked off?
And because all that being said, like, Tired of Being Tired is really practical, but the first few chapters, and I mean, throughout the book, it's also a book about the theology of rest. And the truth is that like, a lot of us just want to change our behavior. Really, honestly, most of us just want to change the outcome. Like, we want to not feel tired. And so first of all, we have to wrestle down, like, do we want to not feel tired? Because a lot of us are pretty proud of how tired we are. And it's become like our generation's best humble brag. We like to say like, how are you? I'm good. I'm busy. I'm tired, but good. Like, didn't get a lot of sleep last night. You know, it's been wild. Like, this is how we relate to one another. So first we have to kind of ask like, why? And my hands are in the air and I'm saying like, I had to do this. I had to say like, why do I want people to think that I am overextended and exhausted, and that somehow makes me better? So I had to really ask that question. Then really, if we want to see an outcome change, if we want to live more rested, if we want to not live so exhausted, which I think when we really pause and think about it, we don't want to do this. We don't want to give this to our kids. We don't want to miss out on feeling present to God and our people for the rest of our lives. We don't want to live overextended. We really do want a different outcome. Then we actually can't just go straight backwards to the behavior. We have to go back to the belief. And for all of us, the way that we change is we change our minds and then we change our behavior and then we experience outcome. And so there's, for many of us, that's why I would say like Tired of Being Tired is actually like a book about the theology of rest and fatigue. And I think when we start to ask the questions like, why can't I rest when there are dishes in the sink? We'll find even more freedom than we would by just doing them.
Yeah. Good word. Good word, friends.
Are we ready?
I cannot wait. I did not get a copy of the book. It wasn't sent to me. I'm going to jump on Amazon. I'm going to buy myself one.
I'm going to let y'all know that. I'll give you one.
No, I'm going to support Jess. Okay. I'm going to support Jess and I'm going to order my copy. And then everyone else is going to order a copy. And then like those who are feeling it deeply with me, with the dishes in the sink, you can reach out to me through my website. We're going to talk about this, but yes, I'm excited about this.
A support group.
Yeah, it's a support group. It's fine, everybody. But I'm super excited about it. I don't say this all the time. Being serious, I'm getting ready to order the book. I think this is a word we desperately need. So thank you for that. Are you moving us to sidetrack questions?
We're going
to
get real quickly sidetracked because we're taking up all the time. And of course, we're going to link to the Jess Connolly podcast and all of your amazing books like Breaking Free from Body Shame and You Are the Girl for the Job. You are the girl for the job.
Yes.
And resting. Mm. You're going to rest in your job. You can do both. Mm-hmm. But what's getting you sidetracked? We need to know. Is there like are you a show, a movie, a book person? And like, do you have one that you want to share with us?
I'm a show person through and through. Okay. I'm not watching a good new show right now. And I'm like,
that's hard.
I'm okay with that. I'm going to give you guys the lamest answer, but it's not lame, especially in light of our conversation. So Cynthia, I was in Colorado last week.
She's in seminary.
Yeah.
Got to mention that in my intro. Darn it.
Oh, it's great. You know, seminary. I'm just in there. If I graduate, then that might be worth mentioning. But I've told multiple people, I do think I'm in a class right now that's just on the epistles and Revelation. And we've been in this really hard season in our life. And I'm fairly certain I've trauma bonded with this class. I can't stop studying. I think I might be addicted to studying. And I say that because if you ask me in 6 months, I'd probably be like, oh, you know, love is blind. I don't like, it would be much more. But I think I might have trauma bonded with my textbook and I can't stop reading it.
In which book
is it?
That's
fantastic.
It's called Pentecost of Patmos, and it is a textbook. I mean, it's this big, and I'm obsessed with it. I love it so much.
We're going to link to it so people can get
his name is Craig Blomberg. Craig Blomberg. He's an incredible theologian. He's still alive. He's a professor at Denver Seminary.
Wow. You need to check out Dr. Sandra Glahn and her work on Paul.
No, I just ordered one of her books because we talked about her so much last week.
I interviewed her. If you want to go listen to that interview on her book about the Nobody's Mother. So good.
Nobody's Mother. It's all people. I literally just ordered it last week in seminary because everybody kept talking about it. Artemis and all the things.
Oh my gosh.
Much.
Artemis. Oh my gosh.
I know.
You got it wrong for so long. So long.
It's wild. I ordered two books. I'll name them both. One was Nobody's Mother. The second is called Paul Behaving Badly. And I have already started reading that one. It's not even required for my class. I just am like, wow. Paul's the real deal. Like, Paul is a G. Paul is amazing. And this class has made me repent and confess my side eye about Paul.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think a lot of women are like, oh, wait. We were blaming him for this stuff. And actually, he's doing a lot of good. Okay.
So good.
You want to ask the next one, Synth?
Yeah. Yeah, and I better stay on task or you know she'll call me out, Jess. So I don't even know I can't even find the document, everybody. This is how the wheels.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, you ask her. Sorry, the wheels fell off again over here.
What food or drink is a must-have that's getting you sidetracked?
Ice. It's just ice. I'm just heavily, heavily, heavily addicted to ice.
Wait, what kind of ice?
I have a serious problem.
What kind is that?
I don't care. I really don't
care. Oh, you're not
care.
Picky? Oh, I'm an ice snob. Okay. I love that about you, Jess.
My addiction has crossed over to I don't care. Okay. So
do you chew
today
it?
Is Amazon Prime Day. I do chew it. I chew it. today's Amazon Prime Day. I've already bought a pebble ice maker. I'm going to give it to you straight. I ran that thing into the ground. And my husband and I are renovating a house right now, and we are putting like a built-in drawer pebble ice maker, but we're not going to be in that house till December. And I am like, do I spend God's money on a pebble ice maker just to get me to December? Is that who I am now? I think it might be.
I think you are. I think you are. And I don't think you're better than that. You're not better than that. That's okay.
I'm not better than that.
I'm not either. I have nothing to prove. Somebody should write that book. Okay, listen, we have an ice maker too. Oh, must be nice. I know everyone. Okay, calm down. We have an ice maker, but our ice maker, it's fabulous, and it's not pellet, but it's still small and you can crunch it, whatever. I crunched it so much. Like, I love it so much. I broke a back tooth. Like, it's like disrepair. But I'm too scared to go get it fixed because, you know, they're going to want to do all this stuff and it's going to cost me like $10,000. And I'm not going. I'm only chewing on the other side now, and I'm still chewing my ice. And at some point, I'll have to have only nursing home food because I'm breaking down my teeth.
Cynthia, I am my dentist's favorite client. I broke a back tooth chewing ice, so I exclusively chewed on the other side. Four root canals later, I have a fake front tooth from chewing ice. This is an addiction costing me. Yes.
Oh, it's costly. But you know what? We could be doing drugs. We could be doing a lot of things, people. We chew ice, so it's fine. Everyone get an ice machine. That's your answer.
And do we have an iron problem? Yes. Do we want to take our iron pills? No.
Is that what they say? Like, if you chew ice, you have iron deficiency?
Oh, 100%.
Wait, stop. Is that true? Because I just had blood work done, and they said I have an iron deficiency, and I should take a supplement.
No, that's why you chew ice. Because it's biologically, your body wants to chew rocks to get iron. So your body is telling you, like, we need hard things. We need rocks. We need rocks.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Jess, I literally just got that. That doctor's like, you have to take an iron supplement. I'm like, I'm fine. Whatever. Okay, I'm going to go chew ice on your behalf. And please order that off Prime. I think you deserve that.
I'm on it.
Yeah, order some iron pills, I think, or some drops or something. Mm-hmm. Just drop some iron in. I don't know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it for sure.
Get a fix. Same. My gosh. Okay.
I'm too busy resting.
Amazon purchase was the next one. So do you have anything that, like, I feel I'll be on Instagram and I'm not even thinking about, like, yesterday it was a chicken shredder that the Rambling Redhead was showing. You put your meats in there and it twisted and it shreds all the thing, whether it's meatballs or chicken. I don't know. I didn't know I needed it, but maybe I do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anything lately that you were influenced by outside of an ice maker?
I got a visor that is like wicker, like more like a rattan.
Is it one you can travel with? Like that rolls up and
it rolls up
to itself? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It rolls up.
Yeah. I just got one too. I keep having the skin cancers burned off my face. It's super unfortunate. And so I'm wearing those too. And my kids are like, they're teenagers and they're mean. A couple of mine are. And they're like, oh my gosh, you've never looked older. I'm like, shut up. It's fine, everyone.
No, it's so cool right now.
Mm-hmm. You're so hip. You're so hip.
Jess, you're so fun. Thanks for doing this. I'm so glad to get to chat with you.
Same. You guys are amazing.
Oh, this is the best. We learned a lot and we laughed a lot. And so thank you for joining us. We'll link to all the things and just praying for you as you go through this next season.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you guys.
Okay, I did it.
I love her.
I surprised you.
Oh my gosh. Such a good surprise. I loved her. I love the topic.
Yeah. That one was a long time coming because we did have to reschedule a few times. We didn't talk about it, but she did go to Italy this summer. Must be nice.
Must be nice. Well, on that must be nice note, I'm going to go enjoy the cool weather and I'm not going to sweat. And I'm in a sweatshirt right now, you guys. It is August as we're taping this. I'm in a sweatshirt.
I'm so jealous. And here's the story, Morning Glory. I hope that while you're with your friends, that you can just lean into, like, pay attention. Like, oh, this is restful. Like hanging out with these friends, being away from my responsibilities at home. Oh, I'm doing it. I think that you do know what restful is. And I think that all of us probably could uncover some ways. We've always thought it was like getting away from it all, or it was doing nothing, but maybe we could get curious about what brings us life and joy.
And on that same note, Heather, I think maybe we also can give us ourselves permission to do those things. Because totally. In a lot of respects, I know what brings me rest, but I feel like that's just a luxury. I don't have the luxury of maybe going to lunch with my friends, or I don't have the luxury of taking a trip without my kids, which is what I'm doing right now, or I don't have the luxury of whatever. Well, you know what? Maybe you do. Let's do that for ourselves, because that actually will help everyone around us if we do it well. So,
yeah, I always like when people are like, I'm just going to quit. I'm like, maybe you just need a break. Like, maybe you just need some more rest before you quit all the things, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Well,
enjoy.
Thanks, friend.
Enjoy your life.
It's good to see you. See you when I get back. Okay,
bye.
Bye. All right, friends, thanks for being a part of this. And we will get back next week to the last few episodes of How Do I, through this series we've been doing the last couple of months, How Do I Fill in the Blank. And I know you guys have been loving this series as I have, because I've heard from so many of you. So we've got a few more, and then we are moving on in the fall to something different. And so thanks for being a part of Mesmerize Family, guys. I'm so grateful for you. You're the very best.